Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's a doozy.
Oh, weird.
Oh, that's weird. I've got shivers.
Hello, you're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. My name's Bob Shoy, and with me, as always, is Mr. Adam Tiss.
Yow.
And Mr. Luke Beef.
Hello.
Beef, I actually forgot your name for a minute there. That's why there was that slight hesitation.
And Mr. Luke Beef.
What's his name?
Yeah, Beefy boy.
I remember someone calling you Luke once, and I was just like, who? Who the fuck are you talking about?
Was it Rachel? Because whenever I'm there and Rachel calls you Luke, it really throws me out.
It was Jibs. I remember this. I think we were in the pub in Aston Clinton, and Jibs looked at me and said, this is too weird to call you Beef now. I said, I can't call you Beef anymore. I'm sorry. He said, you're too old. We're all too old, and you're a dad now, so I can't. And he went, and then he called me Luke, and you went, what? You can't do that. That's not his name.
Nah. I can't get used to you being Luke. Sometimes I have to like really think about who someone's talking about if they say Luke. I'm like, it takes me a second. Anyway, today we're talking about the final. It's the final of the Alien Abduction trilogy. So we've talked about the first one. We talked about the first abductee stories, the first abductions that sort of were on record.
Yeah,
and then the second one we talked about sort of. The first one that became sort of the first one that got a lot of like press. It really took off the thing, the whole idea. And that was the 60s. So we've gone through like the 50s, we've gone through the 60s. Now we're going into the 70s. And this is what many consider to be the most famous alien abduction case of all time with the most evidence.
Ooh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and what's interesting about it is I knew nothing about it. And then when I did the research, I was like, oh, this is a big deal. And they've made films about this. There's like a live action movie of Robert Patrick in it. There's documentaries about it. Like this is a really well documented case, but I didn't know anything about it. So I just wondered if you guys were familiar with the name Travis Walton.
The famous Travis Walton abduction.
Yes.
I've never heard of it.
No. I know you haven't.
No, let's face it. If you hadn't heard of it, neither of us had heard about it either.
Right. Okay.
Or actually the thing is with all these stories, is I say no, and then you say the story, and I'm like, oh, I've heard this. You just can't remember the name of the person. So I wonder if...
Right.
Because that happened when you went through... Was it the Hills on the last one?
Yeah, we talked about the Hill incident, Barney and Betty Hill.
That's it. I knew kind... When you were telling me the story, I could kind of recall it, but I wouldn't be able to tell you the names, so...
That was kind of the case that popularized the idea of like regression therapy for people to recover lost memories of traumatic times like that and everything. So it was quite renowned for that. And there's a little bit of that in this case as well, because they were like, well, it worked for Barney and Betty. Let's see if we can do it for this.
What year was that?
1975.
Because the Satanic Panic one... Wait, was that in the 80s? God, that was my episode.
It was 80s, yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
There was one that took... There was a famous case that took place in the 80s, though. What's his name? It's like Streber, Walter, someone Streber. I can't remember his name. That was an 80s case. Whitley Streber.
Streber Amoeba.
That's the one, yeah.
Yep.
So it was 1975. It was in Arizona, not far from Phoenix, where the Phoenix Light was. Arizona's a real UFO hotspot. And it all took place in and around a town called Snowflake.
Snowflake.
Snowflake, Arizona. And I've watched, there was a documentary all about this that came out last year called Shock Docs, Alien Abduction, Travis Walton. And that was actually pretty good. I might play a clip from that later. I watched a documentary that came out in 2015 about this called, this really annoyed me, the name of this documentary. It was called Travis, The True Story of Travis Walton. And I'm just like, why you just put his name twice?
Yeah.
It'd be like if they made a film called Bobby, The Story of Bobby Shoy.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't
does
make
it?
Sense. Just it's you're just repeating yourself. So anyway, that I watched that documentary. That was all right.
I suppose they couldn't leave it at just Travis because then people might think it was a documentary about the popular 90s band, Travis.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they could have just called it The True Story of Travis Walton. They could have called it like Alien Abduction, The True Story of Travis Walton or something.
I don't know. They could have done with that title.
Yeah, it's just a bit wet. They also made, like I said, in 1993, this was turned into a film, which is a very well-known film. I'd heard of this. It was already on my watch list anyway. And I didn't realize until I was researching this case that the film I wanted to watch was about this. So I watched that last night. That's from 1993. It's called Fire in the Sky. I'll talk a little bit about that later, unless you guys have seen Fire in the Sky.
Nope. Tis of you.
No.
Never.
No. It's you'll hear what it's about because it's about this case.
Oh, what? The Fire in the Sky, which is about the Travis Walton case?
Yes.
I haven't seen that, no.
We're going to get a lot of repeats of that kind of joke tonight, aren't we?
It's a doozy!
It's that kind of joke. Right, okay. So anyway, it starts off with these six forestry workers. They're all good friends. Apart from one of them doesn't get on as well with the others, they don't know him quite as well, but there's six of them. One of them is like one of... Travis is one of them, and his brother-in-law is one of them, and they all know each other really well, and they've got a contract to sort of do a lot of logging in the nearby forestry of Snowflake, Arizona. So they're about 80% through the contract. They've been going on for quite a while, and one night they all pile in the van together to drive home, and as they're driving home they see sort of like a soft light through the trees, and one of them said something like it was a strange glow. I made a note because I thought this was a good way of describing it. They said it was like the sort of light when a light is shining through a lampshade. If you see a light bulb through a lampshade, it's sort of glowing. It was that. Right. It looked a bit like that. And they're driving and they're like, it's really late at night, and they're wondering what the hell it could be like. As they go in, they're like, you know, has there been a forest fire, perhaps? Has something crashed there? Is like a plane crash? They're like really racking their brain, like, what is going on? But anyway, they're going to have to drive past it to get home because there's only one route out of the forest anyway. So they carry on through, but the whole way they're really concerned, what is this light? And when they get there, what do you think they see?
I bring you love.
It's a flying saucer. It's a big flying saucer hovering in the sky, emitting this soft light. And as they pull up, Travis gets straight out of the van and runs towards it, like straight away. And they're like, where are you going? Sort of thing. Because he's just like, what the hell is it? And just runs towards it.
Right.
As he gets closer, it starts making all these noises. You've got high frequencies. You've got low rumbling. They can't believe what they're seeing.
Or hearing.
Five of them still in the truck looking at this. And then they see Travis get lifted by it. And then a massive, like, flash of blue-green light just, like, flashes, lights up the forest in one go. And Travis is thrown to the ground in a way, like, so hard that he sort of, like, bounces off the ground. And they're like, he's dead. He's fucking dead. And they're terrified and basically burn out of there, like put their foot down on the gas and burn through the forest away. They get about a quarter of a mile down the road.
Loyal friends.
Well, this is the thing. They get about a quarter of a mile down the road, and they're all arguing, then they pull over, they stop, they go, we've got to go back and get him, we've got to go back. But there's always disagreement, like, we just watched him die. If we go back, who knows what's going to happen to us? And they're really arguing about it. Guys, if we're out, six of us are out in a truck, and I run out, and you see me get thrown in the air by UFO, are you burning out of there, or are you going to get me?
No, I'm going to go get you. This is what I don't understand. No, they can't. It must have been driven by the one friend that didn't really know him very well, because that doesn't sound right to me.
Instinctually, I guess you would have... I can understand the tendency to burn out of there and then stop and be like, no, 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 we have to go back. Because yes. Instantly, your instant sort of thing is like...
Fight or flight, innit?
I need to be safe. And then yes. As soon as you are safe, that's when you start to go, ah, that was probably the... Like, I shouldn't have done that. I should have fought.
I might be going in a car with you guys then.
Also, they are thinking he's dead. Like, he's thrown with quite a force. Like, I think there's probably a lot of emotions going through your head when you put your foot on the gas away from something like that happening so quickly.
Becca will tell you, actually, we went to a free party once and Becca got mugged with and a few other people, and I fucking burnt it out of there. I was off.
Yeah, I know. She's told me. She's told me.
I was off. The thing is I had everything. They had no valuables. They had nothing on them. I had all their stuff. So should I have stayed
trying and to got justify it now,
beaten up and all the stuff taken off me?
This is outrageous.
Did you not know about that, Beef?
It's fight or flight, isn't it?
He kept that from you.
I've not kept it from no one. I would fucking run away instantly if you guys were getting mugged.
Thanks, mate.
Appreciate the honesty.
I'm joking. No, but no, it is like an honest sort of like...
I'm with you, Tis. I see the rationale of like, okay, there's still five of us who are definitely alive. We should get some distance here because whatever had the power to do what we just saw is going to make mincemeat out of us if we stay here. And if they're pretty sure he's already dead... They can always go back for the body, but what is there to be gained in that moment?
And also, going back to the mugging, I was getting mugged also, but I...
sorry, so forget this abduction. Go back to the mugging.
Sorry, just because I don't think it painted the proper picture. I was getting mugged also, and the guy ripped my hoodie, and I ran to get away from him. I didn't see those guys getting mugged and go, well, fuck it, I best not pipe up. I best slip off. You know, I didn't slip off. I was getting mugged also.
Don't try and justify it now.
No, I will. I'll justify it. So if I was getting shot with a UFO, big time, I'd burn it out of there.
I have had the moment of paralysis where I think, what do I do here? Because I went out in London with some people for Jibs' birthday one time when he lived in London.
Mm.
And we were walking back to his flat. And the only people left were me, Jibs and Swift, right? And as we were walking through these London streets late at night, some mad drug dealer guy, I've told you guys this before, he said, I thought I've told you to stay out of my area, and then started chasing us with what I presume was a knife in his hand. I didn't stop to get a good look, but it seemed like that's what he had in his hand. And we sprinted, obviously. But after we'd been sprinting a while, I sort of saw Swifty, like, way ahead of me. He's fitter than me. And he was gone like a bullet. And I saw Jibs way behind me, like, lagging, thinking, shit, this guy's going to get Jibs. And I had that moment of, like, pause of, like, do I run with Swift or do I run back and get Jibs?
What did you do?
I ran back.
Yeah.
We didn't get caught. We all made it. We jumped over a fence into a park and hid. It was very scary.
You have told me that before, but not in that much detail.
No.
I didn't realise. Yeah.
I thought it was you, Jibs, and Toad Guard, to be fair.
No, it's me, Jibs, and Swifty, because we were staying at his flat. Anyway, so they only drive about a quarter of a mile down the road. They don't get far before they slam the brakes on. So it's not far at all. And they're all arguing, we need to go back for him. No, fuck it, we need to get out of here. Then they see, from the direction where it happened, a light disappear into the sky, go whoosh.
Yeah.
And they think, well, whatever was there is now gone. we should go back for Travis.
Hmm.
And they're feeling terrible as well. They like their instinct was like flight from the fight or flight thing. But they said, and all the interviews, loads of interviews of all of these individual guys, and they're like, at that time, it was a really complex emotion of feeling incredibly guilty that our instinct was to run. We felt incredibly guilt-ridden, but also absolutely terrified that they've seen something this unexplainable.
Mm.
So they head back to go get Travis. And when they get there, there's nothing there. There's no sign of a UFO. There's no sign of Travis. There's nothing.
Oh, weird. What?
Goddess.
Oh, weird.
That's a bit odd.
It is weird, isn't it?
Strange, considering the story.
Are you sure they got the right field? They got the right spot?
Yeah, no. They just went to the wrong place. Anyway, and that's the end. They found him the next day. They head back into town anyway. They're all shaken up, and they call like the sheriff's office, and they're saying, like, we need to talk to someone.
It is weird. Leave me alone. That's weird.
Are you laughing about the sheriff's office like they're going to arrest the alien?
No, he's laughing at me.
Still laughing at me, being like, oh, that's weird.
Ooh, it's a bit weird.
I've got shivers.
Okay. It was a bit weird.
And then the man was shot with a ray gun. It's a bit weird.
Sorry, Beef.
Anyway, they call the sheriff, and the deputy gets sent out, a Mr. Chuck Ellison, and he questions all six of them in turn. And then he calls the sheriff and says, you better get down here, because I don't really know how to handle this situation. And then the next morning, because they can't do it at night, they go back to search the area properly. And there's a proper scouting search party. They scour the forestry. They send proper search parties out. I think there was even helicopters, or I might be getting that confused with the films. Like, it was a proper manhunt.
Was there dogs?
I don't know if there was dogs.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Nice to mention them if there was. There was dogs. Oh, that's weird.
He's in one of those moods tonight.
I know. Good.
Yeah.
Fucking good. Right, anyway, so every day this starts getting some media frenzy because no one believes what they're saying. It gets out in the papers that they're saying they've seen this UFO. And everyone thinks they're a bunch of fucking liars. Basically, the consensus seems to be they've killed this guy and they're covering it up. I don't know why the fuck they would say that story, unless it's the logic of, like, if it's this mad, then people will be less likely to question it.
Yeah, I guess so. It's not the sort of thing you'd lie about, is it, really? A bit embarrassing.
No, like I say, if we're out logging, as we sometimes do, and you guys say I accidentally... Because a lot of people think maybe they didn't kill him, maybe he accidentally died, but they're trying to cover it up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Died in an accident, because it would like be the business going under and all that stuff.
Were they loggers then?
They were loggers, yeah.
What's a logger?
Cutting down trees. Chainsaws. Clearing the forestry.
That's not what his thought logging was.
Was this in the evening then?
Yeah, well, they were leaving at night because it had been a long day.
They've done a lot of logging.
They've done a lot of logging.
That makes a lot of sense why they'd cover it up. Anyway, carry on.
Well.
They killed him.
So, well, if you lived in the town and five guys come, six men enter, five and men.
Five
return.
Guys.
And there's five guys open up. And they're saying, we used to be six guys, but one of us got abducted.
Tell you what, this story is making me shake.
As a townsperson, that starts coming out. Are you thinking they're telling the truth, or are you thinking bollocks, they killed him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking the most logical thing that. Not even that they killed him, but maybe, like you said, a bit of a logging accident. And, yeah, I mean, fuck knows. Who knows? You'd have to be pretty insane or psychopathic or sociopathic to lie about it, though.
It's difficult, isn't it?
You'd have to be really cold to make that up.
I'd be more concerned if it was a village. Village folk are weirder.
Well, it's only a small town. You know, it's basically small towns in America are kind of like villages, aren't they?
They are like villages, I suppose. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, because they don't... It's like America doesn't really have villages like we have villages. They just have small towns.
No, and
they
that's true.
Kind of like villages. Mm.
Then yes.
They just have like an extra diner or something in them. It's like a village with a diner in it.
Like Twin Peaks.
There are plenty of people that I've met in Stukely that I think have murdered someone or done something illegal.
So anyway, yeah, so... This sort of is escalating over the next few days. They've searched the area. That area in general is rife for UFO sightings anyway. So people like another crackpot saying UFOs. The authorities obviously don't believe them. They're questioning them, each of them in turn, separately to see if their stories corroborate with each other, which they do. They're all matching, but then the sheriff's like, yeah, they've worked on this together. They've got all the irons, all the wrinkles ironed out of this. They know exactly the story they're telling. They're thinking it's foul play. They're thinking cover up of an accident. They're thinking suspected murder. They're watching these guys to see if any of them does a runner. Some people, this might be years later, are claiming that there were strange men in black suits hanging around the town at the time, men in black stuff. I don't know what I think about that.
No, I don't know. They're just office workers.
Eventually, these five guys agree to take polygraph tests because they basically said, you know, you're under suspicion. We want all five of you to come down to the courthouse, which is also the jail, and take polygraph tests separately, and we can put this to bed once and for all, because, you know, what are the chances of all five of you passing? You know, they're not 100% accurate, but they're not going to fail five different people. So they get all five of them. It takes all day. It's about 2 hours per test. And they're asking them the same questions again and again and again and again, making them do the same test multiple times in a row, really trying to wear them down and not revealing any of the results. They're holding it all back to the end. And at the end of the day, of the five of them, four of them pass outright. Every test they do, outright pass. And I think they did the whole thing three times for each person. All of them, four people, all of them pass. But the fifth person comes back as inconclusive. Now, this is the one who didn't really like him. He's got a criminal record. He's got a bit of a more dodgy past. And he's not playing ball as much. And apparently, the only reason his came back as inconclusive is because he passed the first two times he did it. The third time he did it, he was like, I've had enough of this shit, and ripped all the stuff off him. So technically they say this is inconclusive.
Right.
So if you look at it another way, they all passed.
It's invalid. Yeah. Like, they can't use that data. It's ruined data, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So they say inconclusive.
Spoiled. He spoiled it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a paddy.
Yeah.
He had a big fucking paddy whack. God. It's a bit weird. So all the locals still think these guys killed him. What are you thinking? This is 5 days later now. 5 days this has been going on.
Do you know what bothers me, right, about aliens? I'm just going to say it. Right.
Well, get ready for this, everyone. He's just going to say it.
Beef's become rich now. He's just going to say whatever.
Wait until after the credits for that reference, if I leave it in.
Just like, why is it that you get these UFO hotspots, mm-hmm. right? This is a big planet. Why is it that you always go to the same places? Like, that's just crap.
I did see a little thing about that. I didn't make notes, but someone said, like, why is it always like the south of America, basically? And they said that actually a lot of the times the areas it is around like some of the biggest military research bases in the country. Now, one argument for that can be, all the stuff that people are seeing is like experimental aircraft getting tested. Another is that aliens are thinking we will go down to where they have the most like advanced technology and see where they're at and see if we can make contact with these people if we're going to.
I was listening to a podcast like a couple of weeks ago, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, our old mate, was on there, and
Bellend.
He said He made a good point, though. He said, because he was asked the same thing, like, where have all the aliens gone? They're like, there was loads of sightings, loads of stuff going on in the 70s and the 80s, and all of a sudden there's nothing.
They got sick of us.
He said, well, this is what I think. Like, you think at any given moment there's about a million people in the sky, and all of them have got a mobile phone. Like, are you trying to tell me that right. they wouldn't see... If they saw something... I know, even on a plane... Like, let's say you get Wi-Fi on a plane now, so it's not like you'd have to take a photo and then wait to land and then pop it on your Insta. I don't know. I just think, it's always been a question I've had. They just seem to go to these same places, and that bothers me. Like, you know, it's just the same places. It's always in America as well. Occasionally over here sometimes, but I guess that's a pretty good explanation. Just don't buy it. I mean, they definitely didn't. At the minute, I'm thinking, coming back to your original question, sorry. Unlikely that they've just killed him. That's a bit weird.
Have there only been, like, alien sightings in Japan or China or...
Yeah, like...
There Thailand, was some in China. There India. Was some recently in China, wasn't there?
Really?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
In China...
Wasn't there supposed to be, during COVID or just after, there was supposed to be a big fake alien invasion with, like, holograms, and they were going to... That was the end game.
Fake alien invasion.
Yeah, that was the end game of the globalists, wasn't it?
Was it?
That's what people were saying.
Well, because of COVID, or...?
Well, no, you know, at the end of COVID, because they'd got us to, like, stay in our houses and wear masks and take vaccines, they were like, right now they know they can control us, so they're going to push it and they're going to fake an alien invasion.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, no, I do vaguely recall something like
Project
this.
Blue something. Project Blue Light, maybe?
Right.
It was to do with holograms. They were going to project...
Oh, yeah, to make us all think there was an alien invasion. To control. Yes, I do remember hearing about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And thinking, fucking hell.
That died
People
a death.
Believe anything. Yeah.
But you get me, like, we never get anything happening in, like, Chad or Suriname. Like, there's just, like, yeah, I don't know.
They're just too busy trying to survive to make this shit up, to be fair.
I don't buy it. And I've never bought it, and I don't think they exist, and I think it's crap.
Wouldn't buy it, don't want it.
Well, 5 days later, this might change your mind, mate.
Oh, go
five
on, then.
Days since it's after, and it's all been going on for 5 days now.
Mm-hmm.
10 p.m., Mike, the main guy, the main like head of operations, basically, and the brother-in-law of Travis, gets a phone call. 10 p.m.
Right.
Guess who it was?
Travis.
Travis.
Fucking Travis, mate.
Right.
I need you to come get me.
Oh, shit.
And he was calling from a payphone at the side of the road.
Right. What road? The road they were on?
No, just some... I can't remember where... I didn't make a note of the name of the road or the place, but it's outside of
Route
town.
Route 66.
It wasn't Route 66.
Okay.
They didn't even have the courtesy to take him back to
drop him off home.
Yeah.
No. Rude.
That's lousy.
Was it not Interstate 2?
Yeah, it was, mate.
That's the one. No, Midsummer Boulevard.
So anyway, they drive out and are looking for him. They're looking for a payphone at the side of the road because he doesn't know exactly where he is. He's like, I'm at a payphone at the side of the road. There's a petrol station here. There's this, whatever. So they drive around. They find him at the side of the road and he's looking. He's shaken up. He's all like malnourished. He's all... jittery, obviously, and they pile him in the car, and he's like, what happened? Like, the last thing I remember is you guys driving away. How did I get here? And they say, well, that was 5 days ago. And he doesn't believe me. He's like, what are you talking about? That just happened. And then they're like, you know, feel your face. He feels his face, and he's shocked that he's got like 5 days worth of like stubble grown. And he's like, you know, incensed, like, what is happening to me?
Right.
So, did you guys think he was going to be coming back, or did you think he was dead?
No, I thought at some point he'd come back.
I hoped that he'd make a little return.
Yeah. So he's back, but he can't remember anything.
I still think he just fell asleep in a bush somewhere.
For 5 days? In the wilderness, right. It's cold there at night. Cold, cold, cold. No nourishment.
Maybe just had a really bad trip or something.
Well, actually, that's strange because a lot of people were saying, were they on drugs? And they all had drug tests and stuff.
Yeah, they bloody loved drugs in the 70s, didn't they? It was all over.
It wasn't drugs, though, mate. Wasn't drugs. Come on, next. I wanted to throw some more shade at this poor guy.
This poor guy. I think this isn't... It's not very helpful that the police... I mean, whilst all this was going on, were they even looking for him? Because they seemed to be more interested in these guys.
Yeah, they did proper manhunts of all the forestry. Because when they searched everything, like the next few days, they couldn't find any trace. Nothing.
I still don't believe he got taken by aliens, no.
I'm pointing upwards to the sky, listeners. He was up there, mate. That's why he was in the forest. He was up there. And I know what you're thinking. It's a bit weird.
It is a bit weird.
It is a bit weird.
I don't know. Go on, carry on. I'm not gonna rule it out.
All right. Okay. So he's shaken up. He doesn't know what's been going on for the last 5 days. They consider putting him under a polygraph test, but one, he can't remember where he's been. He does remember seeing the UFO. Like the last thing he remembers is basically until the flash of light hit him, where they thought he was dead. That's the last thing he remembers. He remembers seeing the thing and seeing the light. And the next thing he remembers is waking up at the side of the road with 5 days of missing time. He is advised against doing a polygraph test because basically polygraph tests also measure stress. That's how they measure like lie detection. And people are like, well, if he's suffering from a PTSD situation, the readings are going to be all over the place. It's just going to make him look bad. And he doesn't even remember half of the stuff they're going to be asking him anyway. He's got an amnesia. And they... contact or are contacted by APRO, APRO. It's one of these nice acronym UFO groups that we always come across, and this is the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization.
Ooh, right.
So it's not necessarily just like big alien hunters, it's just any aerial phenomena. They're interested in strange aerial phenomena, and they're a scientific organization who are researching reports of strange sightings in the sky. Ooh. And they take him out of there, basically. So let's get you to Phoenix. Let's get you out of your town where you're getting hounded by the public and everything. And let's get you under some medical examinations. They're going to test his blood. They're going to test his urine for anything strange. They're going to try and find out what happened in this lost time. And eventually, he agrees to have regressive hypnosis, the same as Betty and Barney had.
Right.
To try and recover this lost memories.
Right.
So I've got some audio here. I don't know how well it's going to come through of what he sort of recovered from that lost time. And I'm going to sort of pause this every now and then and we can sort of talk about what we're thinking about his report so far.
Okay.
But this is what was recovered from when he went under regression. Let me know if you can't hear this.
Hypnosis that I was under has been a lot of help in helping me to remember this without the fear. I was unable to relate any of it at first because of the fear that I recall with it.
Physically, Travis is sitting on the hotel room sofa. But mentally, Dr. Harder takes him back to the moment he was abducted on board the alien ship. And the next terrifying 5 days of missing time.
Visualize just what's in front of you there. Tell me what it is that your eyes see.
I was laying on my back. I came too slowly. At first, I thought I was in a hospital.
I felt like there was something seriously wrong.
Just to explain the change in his voice, some of these are from old interviews from at the time, and some of them are from like about 2015, and they're pulling from different interviews, so you're going to hear his voice be older at some points of this and younger. But it's like a combination of different interviews.
Right. Thank you. I did wonder.
It was a light above me. It wasn't so bright I couldn't look at it, but it sort of interfered with seeing other things around me.
but I was looking around to see where I was. It was a very small space, but there was something lying on my chest. There seemed to be, you know, some kind of a light coming from it. When I looked beyond the edge of that, I saw faces, but it was so blurry that I kind of assumed it was doctors wearing surgical masks. It was only a matter of seconds before I realized that these weren't human doctors. This was an alien face.
They were about 5 foot tall, no hair, real white skin, small features except for large eyes.
So what he is describing is basically the classic grey alien looking things there.
Yeah.
And the documentary goes on a little bit at that point about greys and explaining, like, a lot of abductees see this type of alien, that they describe a common set of features, and it's exactly what he sort of agrees on that he saw. But like he said, he couldn't even really work out if they were actually their faces or if they were wearing masks, like there were protective masks over their faces or what. He was so out of it, and this light glaring in his eyes, and he's laid down on a table. He's thinking, what the hell's happened to me? Who the hell are these people? Where am I? He doesn't think I'm on a spaceship.
Yeah.
At the time, this is in hindsight, he's realizing that. So it's pretty scary situation to be in, I would say. So far, are you with it, or...?
I'm waiting for the next part. I'm eager.
It is. I'm going to drop in and out of... Because it's a good... the way that this... This is what I pulled from this documentary. This is the one from last year. The way they've pulled from different interviews from him over the years to put together a complete story of his adaptation is really good. Okay, so let's listen to the next bit. The reason I keep stopping is because I'm going to, like, sort of skip some bits so we're not playing, like, 20 minutes of the documentary. Sort of play between, like, 5 and 8 minutes for jumping around a little bit. So let's listen to the next bit.
The feeling of pain, the feeling of suffocation, at the same time, they expressed no emotion to their face. It seemed threatening. I just freaked out at that point.
And jumped off of the table there.
And when I did, this device fell off.
Travis's survival instincts kick in full force.
It was just fight or flight. And I grabbed a rod or tube and just started swinging through the air. The only opening in the room was beyond them.
Suddenly, and without warning, the aliens changed course.
They left the room. I was afraid they'd come back, so I left there, looking for a way out.
The whole craft was lit up in a way that I would consider to be pretty dim by, you know, human standards. I felt like there was an insufficient amount of air, like I couldn't get enough air just breathing. The air was thin but humid.
Struggling to see and desperate for air, Travis comes across another door. The room appears to be empty except for a single chair. As Travis approaches, he notices the light in the room shift.
There was some kind of a projection or some kind of a viewing thing in this room where you could see a map of stars.
The points of light that came through it were not real visible until I got near the chair. Away from the chair, the walls didn't seem to have those points of light so much.
Could it be some kind of control room? Travis looks for any means of escape.
On the arm of the chair was a screen and some colored spots that I took to be buttons. I was just thinking these buttons might open one of these doorway-looking things, foolishly assuming that a door would just be open to the air and I could drop to the ground, you know, 15, 20 feet. I could handle that just to get out of there. The buttons have no effect. Travis has no choice but to look for another way out. Just then he notices he's not alone. The form looks oddly familiar. Could it be human?
What do you think to that?
No, I'm not buying it.
A human looking thing walks into the room. He talks about the human. It's someone wearing a spacesuit, basically, is what he says it looks like. Someone in a spacesuit. It doesn't look like one of the grey aliens that are on the table with him before. No. It looks like a human, basically, in a spacesuit.
Mm. Okay.
Hmm.
Can I tell you my problem so far?
Go on. Okay, tell me your problem so far. Because I find this guy really rational and kind of normal. But go on.
Yeah, the guy I have no problem with. And I'm listening to it and thinking I need to be really fair and really rational and really, like, almost remove him from the story because he's telling something which has happened to him or he believes is extremely real to him. So I'm trying to not dispute that. I'm trying to not, like, just rub, you know, like, dismiss it. But it's really hard, and this obviously isn't his fault, but this is all so steeped in like pop culture that it's really difficult to, you know, like, then we went into another room and there was a viewing thing with the stars, and you know, like, I've played so many video games, seen so many movies where it's just,
yeah, but the stuff you've played there wasn't video games with that then though.
No, but
they're based off of the accounts of this sort of guy.
Yeah, but that's what I'm struggling with. I guess I just don't.
It seems derivative, but the things that we consume that are derivative of this.
Yeah, I guess this created the things that we're kind of now thinking. I'm the same as Beef. When I'm listening to the story, I'm like, oh yeah, there's a chair with buttons and a screen and a fucking this. And it's so, we've heard it a million times, but I guess we've heard it a million times because this was the first one.
This is considered one of the most famous because there's a lot of detail in his story. You've got five other witnesses to the craft themselves. They've all passed polygraph tests. There's like a lot that adds up to make it seem a little bit. I'll be honest, by the end, we've got a little way to go, but by the end of this, I was thinking, I don't know, like there's something to this. This one has a little bit more meat on its bones to me. But I have been developing my own little theory, actually just going through my notes on this episode, of what an alternative answer to this might be. So maybe we'll come to that in a bit, because as I'm going through this is like the third time I've gone through this. Well, I've watched two documentaries, I've watched the movie, I've gone through my own notes, I'm playing this clip again. I've gone through this narrative so many times now, I'm starting to think, maybe it's this, and I'm trying to connect these dots in my head. So I'll talk about that later, what I think this might be.
But it is what I'm struggling with. It's, you know, I've shared tons of stories on this podcast which are totally unbelievable and sound like I'm making them up. So I'm really struggling to remain fair and totally impartial and trying to believe him as much as possible. But I guess that's just a struggle I'm having, and but that's not his fault. That seems totally unfair that that's what I'm thinking.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because he seems totally credible. He's not like KFC lady. Kentucky.
He lost...
Kentucky!
No, he wasn't looking for Kentucky. He was flashed with this light in the forest. He came unconscious. He wakes up on an examination table, it feels like. There's bright lights above him. He's looking around and can't really work out what's going on. There's people over him, but they look like alien. They got big eyes. He can't tell if they're wearing masks or if that's actually their real faces. They're kind of expressionless. He grabs a piece of machinery, like a tube or something. He doesn't know what he calls it, like a tube or a rod or whatever. Something near him, he grabs it off the table and starts swinging at him, right?
Yeah.
They back out of the room thinking, what's going on with this guy?
Swing away, swing away.
And when they leave, he thinks, I'm getting the fuck out of here, and leaves through another door.
Yeah.
He runs down a corridor, goes into, takes the first room he sees, walks in, there's a chair. Talks about sitting on the chair, trying to work out what there's like a panel on this chair he can't really work out. There's like displays he can't really work out. He's just looking for a way to open whatever he's in, because he still can't really work out what he's in, to the outside world. He doesn't think I'm in space. He's thinking I'm inside something. I need to open it and get out of here.
Yeah.
Mm.
Then he turns around and what looks like a human in like some sort of spacesuit is like standing behind him as he's sat in the chair. That's where we're up to.
One thing, before you move on, sorry. Yeah. One thing that is different is the air, like him saying he was struggling to breathe.
Oh, yeah. He says it was like breathable, but it was very heavy and clammy, like artificial feeling.
Like today, it's been really clammy and humid and heavy in Aylesbury. It's been like...
So it's a bit like
I
that.
I know what you mean.
It's like the climate of an Aylesbury on site.
It's like being in the Amazon rainforest. You're just that kind of thick. Yeah, I get it. I get what he's talking about.
I've seen a few aliens in Aylesbury, actually.
Yeah, there's definitely some strange creatures.
It was one restaurant where we had staples in our food.
I was talking about that at work today.
No way.
Yeah. Listeners, one time we went out for a Mexican meal in a restaurant in Aylesbury and we ordered starters and drinks and everything. And I had some nachos and I was eating them and then I felt something weird in my mouth and it was a roll, like a strip of staples that you'd put in a stapler. And I was like, what the fuck? Looked down at my plate and it was like garnished with staples. There were staples all in my food mixed in with these nachos. And I called the waitress over. I said, what's this? There are staples in my food. And they had no answer. They just gave us free drinks for the rest of the night.
We were young enough that we just sat there. Can you imagine? If that happened now, I would make such a fuss. I would be wanting to sue them.
I was too gobsmacked about what had happened. It was like, the last thing I could imagine is like staples. Like, to be fair, when the guy came out, he was like, I don't know how this is possible. They were like sprinkled on, like sprinkles on an ice cream.
Yeah,
we came up with our own explanation when they walked off that over the pass must have been a little shelf where they keep stationery and maybe they knocked it in and it fell in and
maybe
we came up with some elaborate stuff.
But we did order like the most expensive drinks on the menu. We all drank like cocktails for the rest of the night and everything. That place did close down shortly after. It didn't last that long.
Yeah, the food was okay.
I remember us just saying that we, something about Bob having a staple diet or something.
Yeah.
Very good. You know, when I told that story at work today, the guy I told it to said, to be fair, they're probably just trying to make sure you got a staple diet. He did the same joke. And I was like, he was so happy. And I was like, that's the exact joke that my friend made at the time. So, and he was gutted.
That's brilliant.
Shout out to John. At work. Right, so let's find out what's going back to this guy's horrific abduction story. So he turns out there's a human, what seems like a human in there. And it's interesting you noted about the air being thick and everything, Beef, because that does come into play again. There's a change in the air, so.
Interesting.
Blocking his way. Here was what I took to be a human being. I immediately just assumed this was Air Force, NASA, somebody, you know, there to intervene and take me away from these creatures. In a rare archival interview, Travis describes his encounter with the being.
And this was a human-looking person. They passed in a crowd, this individual. He was bigger than me, taller, and more muscular, very large individual. I went up and tried to talk to this guy, and he didn't answer me.
When I started yelling questions, trying to tell him, what are these things, where am I, you know, get me out of here, all those kind of things, he didn't really seem to be responding to anything I was saying.
Instead, the suited stranger takes Travis by the arm and escorts him further down the corridor.
I went down the hallway with him, very dimly lit, but lit from above. When we came to a door, I did not see this human-looking individual do anything to make the door open, but it did.
Travis and his enigmatic escort enter what appears to be some kind of an airlock.
We went into a little booth-like section of hallway.
Then,
Travis is overcome by a sudden shift in the environment.
I could feel that the air coming in was cooler. I could breathe better. And that the outside light was so much brighter by comparison.
Travis describes being ushered through something like an alien aircraft hangar in this seldom-seen BBC documentary.
He led me out of this craft, which appeared to be parked inside of a larger building or a larger craft. He just took me right out of there, down a hallway to a room where there were some other people who looked like him.
So, he was in a ship within another ship.
That's so weird. Ooh.
It's a really strange wrinkle to the story, which I haven't heard come up in another story. So he's saying, you know, the air's all clammy, he's getting experimented on in this building or ship, and he comes out of it, let out, suddenly he can breathe a bit better because he's in like a massive hangar, which right. is part of it. It's almost like an aircraft carrier spaceship that there are, he in another bit, he says about being in the hangar and seeing plenty of other ships parked up in there. And he had just come out of one. He's led out of one by this person in the suit.
Wow.
Wow. I suppose yeah.
Come on, you're going to call him a bullshitter?
No, I'm not. No, I'm trying to, like, get my head around the hypnosis and how that works and how, I suppose, they're able to unlock memories or something. Is that right?
Oh, well, the regression therapy. Yeah, like they're trying to recover the time that he can't remember.
Right, and that's okay. It's just crazy. I've not heard. It's way more audacious than the other stories.
But he's very sure.
Yeah.
About what it is, he's very knowledgeable. Like I've seen so many interviews, and he can explain what it was like. And this room was like this, and they led me through, and they looked like this, and their suit was like this. It's like the way he tells it. Does feel like someone recounting an actual memory, like he can relive it, and like we relive a memory, and he can remember it clearly.
Yeah,
which I do find there's something about the way he tells the story, which I find, as much as like the actual content of it is kind of a little bit weird. The way he tells it is like you want to believe him.
Yeah,
because he's very plainly spoken about it.
Hmm. Well, just like the other guys in the previous episode you did,
Barney and Betty especially. Barney especially himself was very, he seemed believable. It's, I think, normal. That's why I've picked these ones, because their stories didn't seem as mad as they are. The people themselves had something about them which I found more real. There was something about this person. I'm like, this isn't the sort of, you like you say, it's not like the Kentucky woman. It's not your usual UFO nut.
No.
There's something about these people that I've picked out for this series, which I'm like, this person, there's something about their story which I want to believe about a little bit more.
Yeah.
When you said about the lie detector test, actually, it took me back to that documentary that woman has a lie detector test and fails everything. And she's just like, well,
that's my favorite bit.
Totally bollocks. No, well. Oh, well, you know, I'm not lying, am I?
The guy is so no-nonsense about it. He's just like, have I done what you asked me to come here to do? Yes. You don't like the results, now you're kicking me out of your house. He's so no-nonsense.
Yeah.
Love it.
Literally.
What documentary is this?
This is that fucking one that was on Netflix. It's the same one with the Kentucky woman.
Oh.
I'm so glad Netflix got the license for it.
Confessions of an Alien Abductee.
That's it.
Anyway, so... there's one more bit I'm going to play. They go off for a little bit, so I'm just going to fill in the blanks. There's when he's taken off of this craft by this person in the suit, they lead him into another room. And in the other room, there's another two human-looking people. But like he said, this person looked human, but was bigger, more muscular. And this is like, you know, people who talk about the different classifications of alien. A lot of people say, but listen to this case, they're like, you know, you have the greys. And what he have here is what they call the Nordic type aliens, the ones that look like humans, basically. They just look like humans. They're probably slightly bigger in stature, but they look like humans. And that's why they can't understand him. But they look more human to him.
Right. So is this one of the ones that was leading him around, was like a Nordic one?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. That was one in a suit. But when he takes him into this other room, there's two other Nordic-type, human-type-looking aliens. Very sculpted faces. That's why they call them Nordic. They say almost like they have very Scandinavian, classical Scandinavian-style features to them.
Right.
But very tall and more muscular. But there's two of them standing in this room without masks on, without helmets.
Oh.
And he's led into there, and there's an examination table in the room as well, which he is ushered towards another examination table. So we've got one more minute of this, of what happens in this last room.
He seemed to be trying to get me to get on the table, and I was very much resisting that. I became alarmed that he was not answering my questions. I was obviously terrified and asking, where are you taking me? What's this all about?
Travis fights with all his might, but the Nordics step in and overpower him with superhuman strength.
Very frightening. I was fighting back immediately, no longer cooperating. I thought I was pretty strong in those days, but they didn't have too much trouble getting me down on the table.
They put this mask over my face. It was kind of like an oxygen mask thing. There was a little hose connected to it. They put it over my face, and that was the last thing I knew. I just blacked out.
Next thing he knows, he's waking up at the side of the road.
So they're putting something over his face, and then he wakes up.
They put a mask over his face. He passes out, and then next thing he knows, he wakes up at the side of the road, next to the phone booth, makes a collect call to Mike, and doesn't even remember what's happened. So that's his experience on board the craft. Weird.
I just don't know why the experimentations. I don't know, because they're clearly. Do you know what I always think about with abductions is that it's not the intelligence that these aliens seem to have. It's not just like the difference between us and chimps, or us and dolphins or dogs. I'm trying to think of animals that are actually pretty intelligent. Because we're looking at a level of intelligence which is just unfathomable. Like, and
why?
Because they just seem,
because they've mastered space flight.
Because they're just so advanced. Like, they're so advanced that it's like,
how do we know that these aliens that he met are that advanced from us? If we saw tech that we hadn't seen before, we presume it's advanced, but that might be their regular tech.
Because it's the sort of tech that's like, we're talking about spacecraft hangars that can have multiple spacecraft in.
We have what's it called?
Airplane.
What are them big boats called? Aircraft
carriers.
We have aircraft carriers. It's only the same as that, but in space. You don't know what fuel resources they have to create a spacecraft.
Yes, that's what I'm. That's the kind of thing is they seem to have discovered. They seem to have access to, and maybe that's it. Maybe they're not intelligent. Maybe their planets are just full of, like, the fuel, which is the kind of fuel which we don't have access to.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they have that kind of crazy, crazy fuel. Maybe it's just really common. Or maybe they're so intelligent, they've been able to create it.
But if you don't recognise technology, it would seem advanced to you. We might look at their screens when it was some sort of crazy sci-fi screen, and they might be like, oh, that's like old tech. That's like the iPhone 6. We've got way better ones. It might just be like, it looks high-tech to us because we don't have it. To them, that might not be that amazing. And actually, if we worked out how it worked, we're like, oh yeah, it's not that technologically crazy. We just don't recognise it, so we presume it's high-tech.
They seem to have come from such a long way away. Like, they've...
Yeah.
Right? But hear me out. Right, we're clearly not the only planet that they're visiting.
Right.
So they've... And I would say that I don't think they've come from our solar system, even.
No, like, they won't. I think we would know if they're in our solar system.
They've come from beyond our solar system. And we know how like it's just unthinkable to think of the level of energy it would take a craft to be able to travel.
But they might come from a planet that is so energy rich we can't even fathom it. So maybe if we had unlimited energy, we would have mastered intergalactic travel by now. It might just be like we lack the resources. They might become from somewhere that's like so rich in energy that actually we would be at the same point if we had that. I don't know. I'm spitballing here.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't get the experimentation. I don't know what's like. I don't know. Is it the same as when we want to learn more about animals and we do experiments with animals?
Yeah, I think so. What do people say? How many fake alien autopsy videos are there out there? Where it's like, of course, if an alien landed here, the first thing we'd do is cut it up. So it's only them doing the same as what we would apparently do.
I guess so.
And they didn't even cut him up. They just like had him on an examination table and was looking at him. How do we know it's examination table? He might have just been laying on a bed.
Maybe they did cut him up, but they've got the technology to like seamlessly...
Maybe.
Like Gandalf. Is it Gandalf? Gandalf can do that, can't he? He could just...
Has he ever had like a physical in on Earth where they could be like, right, this, you know, yeah.
They tested his blood and they tested his urine when he got back and there was nothing untoward. So a psychiatric professional did review these recordings.
Right.
And concluded that he was not lying. They're like, this doesn't sound like a person that's lying. So but the thing is, doesn't sound like he's lying could be that he believes it so much. You can tell a story that's a lie, but if you've tricked yourself into believing it, you would still tell it as if it was real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? So, but the psychiatric professional who observed the recording said it doesn't, he seems like he's telling the truth. And the descriptions of aliens. Oh, this is interesting. So you're saying what he's saying seems so derivative. It says here, descriptions of aliens that he described exactly matched previous abductees' reports, but these reports had not been publicly published anywhere at that time.
Ooh.
So he was saying the same thing as other apparent abductees had said at the time. But those abductee reports had not been released. They were like kept under, they were kept private to the interviews that they'd had. Yet his reports matched up exactly with them.
Yeah, but sleep paralysis as well around the world. You've got people who don't corroborate, who have the same stories.
Same imagery, yeah.
Yeah. What do they call them? Archetypes.
I just thought that was an interesting wrinkle.
I don't know if there's anything special in that, though, to be honest.
Why?
I just wonder what our brains are capable of. Like, maybe our brains would automatically just...
Right, okay.
Just come up with what we think would an alien would look like.
Okay.
I don't know. There just doesn't... When you look at greys, there doesn't seem to be anything distinctive about their figure. Like, particularly the Nordic ones. They're like, yeah, they're kind of like human-like, but not like humans. And greys, they've got big eyes and...
It was interesting that he said, like, maybe that wasn't even their faces. Maybe that was their equivalent of a surgical mask that covered the face.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's a good point.
I thought that was an interesting wrinkle. But he also said in another interview, he was like, I thought about it a lot. He said, maybe their faces are so expressionless and there's no sort of feature to them. Because as humans, we rely so much on reading each other's faces and our facial expressions to understand our meaning and intent. But these beings might be so... different in their communication. They might be telepaths and be able to read emotion from each other without, so they haven't developed facial expressions in that way, or have, like, they've been removed from over years through evolution, that because they don't need that to express emotion. It's not how they communicate. They don't communicate the same as us. So it's just interesting ideas around that.
They've got no body language.
Yeah, they don't need it because they are completely in tune. They can read emotion advanced. And intent. Well, maybe.
That's advanced, or
just don't mistake things that are different as being more advanced. It can be just a different form of communication.
Octopi don't have facial expressions.
But you don't think that would be advanced? Like telepathy is that would be advanced, wouldn't it?
Why is that advanced? There's no technology involved in that. It's just a different... You're thinking too in terms of like, we don't communicate like that, so it must be better. No, it can basically be different. You know, if someone met someone landed on Earth and met me, and the other person they abducted was a deaf person, and they were communicating with sign language, they'd be like, is this person more advanced? They're not even using their lips.
Yeah.
It's just another method.
Mm.
It's dangerous to start thinking, oh, different, therefore better. Maybe just different form of communication, that because we can't do it, we think that's advanced. Just maybe they're like, oh, they talk with their lips. That's weird.
Yeah.
They might think that's more advanced.
Hmm.
Oh, they actually have things on their face, like eyebrows and stuff, that shows their emotion. That's advanced. Think of it from the other perspective.
Yeah.
Imagine having to copulate with someone with no expression.
I'm playing chess with you, Beef, right now.
I just don't... I'm just trying to wrap my head around why these sorts of things... They just don't happen like this anymore, do they? Maybe they don't need to come anymore. Maybe they came in the 60s, 70s and 80s and thought, we've just stumbled across a planet. Like, as if we discovered a planet of, like, bugs. You'd be like, no, there's nothing to gain from that.
They tried to communicate with us, but we didn't take any of them seriously, so they just gave up on us.
Well, and also... Well, if they do come from an energy rich planet, they're still using batteries. Forget it. Yeah,
that's true. So, we are still using batteries.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why we don't get these abduction stories quite in the same way.
They could be doing their own shit. They could be world wars going on in their stuff, and they're just like, look, we don't have time to go and see the humans for the next 30 years.
Yeah, they might be busy with something else. Yeah, good point.
Also, how did this synchronize with nuclear weapons?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Well, the 70s and 80s. When did the nuclear bomb get invented?
Like the 40s?
Fair enough.
1940s?
Yeah, that theory is dead.
I could see where you were going with it, though.
Yeah.
Look, I'll tell you what, right? This is the most credible one I've heard.
Right.
And I really like it. I am just struggling to shake off that mindset about aliens.
If it helps at all, Travis has a banging tash.
Okay.
A big ginger mustache.
Oh, yeah, so, I believe it now.
I don't know if that helps in any way.
I'm not even saying I don't believe it. I don't know why I think it's...
I believe that he believes what he's saying.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's a hoax. A lot of people think it's a big hoax. I don't believe it's a hoax. I believe that he believes this. Do I believe it's what happened? I don't know. But I believe that he believes it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go back to what you were saying. He got tested. He wasn't lying.
So, the media, it's just the media are getting a hold of this. There's a lot of skepticism going on from the public, a lot of scrutiny, a lot of people saying it's a hoax. He's becoming very reluctant to interviews because he feels like people are taking the piss out of him. There are rumours going around that it's a con. There are rumours going around that they're on drugs, even though they had drug tests that said they wasn't. There are also rumours going around that it was a scheme set up by all of them because they felt like they were getting behind on the logging contract, weren't going to finish it in time, and so made up this big hoax to get out of the contract. That seems a little far-fetched.
If so, you wouldn't continue that story on for, you know, years and years. You'd kind of let it die down and then not talk about it ever.
Yeah, I feel like by now, one of this, there's six of them. This is from 1975. They're still alive now. They're still having interviews about this now, these guys. There's a documentary that came out last year about this. By now, you think if it was just about like not fulfilling a logging contract, one of them would have been, especially the one that didn't even like the others, would have gone like, yeah, it was just us sticking around. Even the one who didn't really like the others, especially didn't like Travis, was like, yeah, no, that is what we saw.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
In 1976, Travis finally takes his polygraph test. Now that he's recovered his memories, he passes that. And eventually, the local people did actually start believing these people because they were known in the community. You know, it's a small community. Everyone knows them. Eventually, they started getting one round and people did actually start believing their story.
Yeah.
Hmm.
In 1978, Travis Walton wrote a book about his experience called The Walton Experience.
The Travis Walton story about Travis.
In 1993, that book was adapted into the film called Fire in the Sky, starring Robert Patrick, and I watched it last night. It's a 2-hour film. The first hour and 40 minutes are pretty boring. The last 20 minutes are fucking amazing.
Really?
The way they show the abduction, like his experience on board the ship, because you have to wait that long to actually get him to tell his story about what happened on there. That is the last 20 minutes of the film. The rest of the film is literally, he's not even in it. It's like his friends telling the report. Yeah. Of what happened. It's pretty boring. But that is the best abduction scene I've ever seen in a film. Just that last 20 minutes is so scary. Wow. It suddenly turns into the most scary sci-fi horror I've ever seen of like him being examined on tables and weird stuff proked into him. It's so creepy.
Wow.
How did they communicate with you?
Stop it! Just
what is this man in the movie about?
Okay, look, you've got two choices. You can either be quiet or step outside.
Dana, give this guy a chance.
Mr. Walton, can you tell me what they look like? Can you tell me how many of them there were? Were you given food? Injection?
All right, that's enough, mister.
Mike, it's important the entire world learns of your experience.
That's enough, Mike, come on!
Look, I am asking you, I'm asking all of you, just let us do our job.
No, you have done your thing, he's not asking you.
There's a gem between me and my brothers!
Get out of here.
There's a few differences in the film. I wonder how much Travis had to do with the fact that his character is like a cool biker guy in the film, which he's definitely not in real life. Some of the names are different. The stuff on the ship is completely different. It's not his report, but it is a cool alien abduction scene. And he doesn't get regressed to remember it. Weirdly, in the film, some maple syrup spills into his mouth and he remembers being on the ship. It's really fucking weird.
That's odd.
I don't know why they didn't just have the regression scene, but maybe they thought it was too much like the Betty and Barney Hill movie that came out. So one last bit of strange occurrence that happened is in 2014, they returned to the location and did a new investigation on the area where they said that they saw the craft in the forestry. And what they noted was the trees in that circular clearing where it happened had an extreme growth rate compared to the rest of the forest. Up to 36 times the normal growth rate of other trees.
Wow.
And you could see it by looking at the rings, how from that day onwards, they were suddenly like growing way more. And it's the same thing that happened to trees after Chernobyl, the way the radiation affected the trees at Chernobyl. They had a 3 times growth rate in some areas where there was heavy radiation.
Wow. Wow.
So that's really interesting. And also the rings were thicker on the side of the tree that faced the clearing. So it's almost like the trees themselves, the growth rate was pointing all from all angles towards the center of the clearing with this added radiation. There was also an increased amount of iron in the soil in that clearing as well, almost as if extreme magnetism had pulled it up.
Wow, that's weird.
So that's an added wrinkle.
That's a bit weird. That is interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's you know, when you think of, like, me and Joel were talking about the sun the other day, and Joel was like, people think that the sun is just really, really hot, like, because it's a big fireball. He said, but it's not a big fireball, it's gas, it's lots of very hot gas, and I was like, yeah, I'm just talking about that, and thinking about how it's just nuclear fusion, isn't it? That's all it is, which would make that's. And you think of the energy that comes from that big bad boy.
That big bad boy, yeah.
And it's interesting that if we are looking at beings that have got access to energy, that sticks pretty well, doesn't it?
Well, it's like I say, it's interesting that it was the same effects that happened at Chernobyl with the radiation was happening there in that area. Yeah. And the increased iron, like all the rise in iron, suggests some sort of strange magnetism that happened there. So anyway, this whole case is considered one of the most credible accounts. It's one of the more difficult to debunk. It has a credible protagonist at the center of it who seems pretty normal and well-reasoned with. He's not some nut job on shouting his story from the rafters. It has five other witnesses who their stories all corroborate with each other. There's multiple polygraph tests that all pass. There's psychiatric acknowledgement from the recordings of these regressions that say, yeah, this seems legit. And there's unexplained radiation and phenomena in the area where the craft was. All of that piles up to be like one of the more interesting alien abduction cases that I've come across.
Ooh.
Mm. And there's a reason why it's considered like one of the best examples.
Wow.
It's a bit more detailed than... And actually, when you think about it, the silly ones are like, yeah, then they pulled my pants down and then they wanted to put something up my bum. And it's like they're the ones that are probably a bit sillier, isn't it?
I don't think I'm going to clip that. That's going to the start of the episode.
Oh, they pulled my pants down and stuck something up my bum.
I'm going to put that as my ringtone if a beef texts me.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, they're the silly ones when they're just focused around the bum all the time. But the two details for me...
Go on.
The environmental stuff, so the trees and the soil, and then, well, it's still environmental, I suppose, the air on the ship, him explaining... That is pretty, because that would, if you were not really like with it, like we've all had those, just like when you wake up really early in the morning, you're like, we're not really aware of what's going on. You know, not being able to breathe properly would wake you up pretty quickly.
Well, it's the added detail, little things like that, that he puts in that make it more credible to me. When he's like, I reached down on the table and it was some like rod thing. Like he's not explaining the rod. He's just like, it was something. I just grabbed it. Like he's not trying to convince you that it's like, oh, it was some like hydro magic spanner thing. No, he's just like, I don't know what it was, something I picked up. Anyway, that's not the important bit. And he's like, well, it is. You picked up an alien artifact. But he's so normal about it that it feels more real to me. And like he said, like, yeah, the air was thicker there, but it was clearer over there. Like, it's these added bits of info that give the story a little bit more like oomph for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd be pretty annoyed if people were kept... maybe I shouldn't have said it was drugs. I'd be pretty annoyed if that was me and people were just kept trying to say it was because I've been...
Can I chuck a theory out there, which I've put together while we've been recording?
Oh, yeah, you said there was a theory that you had.
How dare you?
So...
Go on.
I don't know. I'm just sort of making this up as I go along, but they see something strange in the forestry. We know that out in the middle of nowhere, especially like Arizona, those sort of areas, they do strange testing for military aircraft or experimental things, right? Who knows if what they saw wasn't something like that? It is the classic answer of like, oh, it's probably just some experimental aircraft we didn't understand. They might have seen that, thought it was a UFO, freaked out, drove away. And in their mind, they're like, maybe he fell over. And in their mind, they're like, yeah. And it like grabbed him and knocked him over or whatever. They took him away, put him in like a tank. I don't know. Maybe it was a radiation thing. Maybe they're like, we need to test if he's been exposed to this radiation. He wakes up all groggy because he's drugged. He's in a facility where they've all got masks on, where they've all got like radioactive suits on, in a tent where it's all muggy because the air's being controlled. He busts out of there. He freaks out, is taken by a guy in a suit. He says there's a space suit. It might just be a safety suit. Taken to another room with human looking people, might just be human, put on an examination table. He's groggy. He might think he's seeing panels of weird things on. It's probably just, you know, scientific panels he doesn't understand. There's a part of this which could be he's completely out of it and they've tried to cover up some super top secret government thing. I don't know. There's something to that for me as well.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, like we always say when with these cases that it's close to military bases. It seems to happen around these places. And there's definitely technology that the military have that.
Yes.
If we looked at, we'd be like, that is insane. That's insane. I've never seen anything like that. And I remember. I remember me, John and Ben's, like there was stuff that we saw in Japan that I still haven't scene, and I don't know if that's because actually they road tested it and it wasn't going to work in the public domain, but
mm-hmm.
I remember sitting in a Starbucks and seeing this guy with a laptop. So this was 2007, and it had like the little, I suppose like a, it was almost like an infrared light that projected the keyboard onto the table in Starbucks, mm-hmm. and he was typing on the, so it was almost, this was before iPads as well, was I was, and it was like almost like an iPad projecting, so he was then just typing onto the table, and it was, yeah, typing.
Well, the other thing is, sometimes these leaps in technology are evolutionary dead ends. That might have been something they were developing, but then everything was just touchscreen, so we just ignored that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But there wasn't just that. There was other things that I remember seeing.
Yeah, so I know what you mean, though. Yeah,
that's bonkers. Like maybe that was all. Like, and as much as I'd love to believe all of this, it just seems too easy to just be. Do you know what? If you're not in the military, there's going to be stuff that you're just not going to know about. And actually, we're not supposed to know. And it's like, we always say this, so you guys know James came on the pod and mm-hmm. prophesied over you guys. His wife is a wing commander for the RAF.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And he's just totally used to, like, he can never know about her day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she can't, and the stuff that she knows is so classified that she can't even tell James about it. She can't ever. And there are times where he has to leave the house because she's just going into a meeting and he can't know. He can't know what she's talking about. And I find that really strange. I would find that difficult, I suppose. But obviously it's just normal. It's normal for them. But I think we seem to have this entitlement, like we're entitled to know what's going on all the time. But actually a lot of this stuff is to protect us, isn't it? And so we think, you know, they're trying to cover something up, and it's like, well, actually, they're probably covering up something that you probably wouldn't want to know about anyway. Mm. It's classified not just because of the technology. Maybe it's classified because it's friggin' scary and you probably don't want to know. So, yeah, let's be honest, it seems the most likely theory, doesn't it?
It's weird that I hadn't seen that come up in the, like, when I was looking at these accounts, no one was like, maybe it was just something, but it seemed obvious to me as we were going through this time. Tis, was he abducted, yes or no?
I think I'm with you. I think I believe that he believes he was abducted.
Yeah.
It's probably the most believable one I've heard. And the radiation facts, if true, and that is a big if.
I've seen the pictures of the trees. It was that footage of the rings growing abnormally.
Yeah. Well, if that is all true, then that's... very interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Excellent. Well, that's the end of the UFO abduction series. We did the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. We did the first abductions, the ones that popularized abductions, and then the most famous abduction. And they've been fun. They've been fun to research and fun to do. And I hope everyone enjoyed them. I know they've been really popular. It was good to give them more look into some separate UFO cases. And like I said, I did refer to the book, An Illustrated History of UFOs, for all of these. I recommend it. It's a good fun book from Nobrow Press by Adam Allsuch Boardman. It's a good book. There's one about ghosts now as well, which I might pick up because this has been a fun book aside from the pod to flick through. So I might pick up the ghost one as well. I know Peter Laws has the ghost one. I saw him post it on Twitter. So thanks, guys. Thanks for joining me for this examination into Travis Walton.
No, it's good fun.
Yeah,
thanks for having us. It was good. That was awesome.
Listeners, next episode, we're going to do a weird news. Depending on how soon we record that, this might be out first or not. If it is, send some weird news to us. If not, don't worry about it. I mean, we're probably going to record that before this comes out because I've still got two to edit before this. Whatever, I'm rambling. If you want to get in contact, it's WTATUpod@gmail.com. You can go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com to find links to all the stuff you would need to know. I think that's the information you need. I would like to shout out two podcasts.
Okay.
One. Long-time listener to the podcast, one of our long-time listeners, has started a podcast about SpongeBob SquarePants. And I know that they were in part influenced by the spin-off pod that me and Emma did on The Simpsons. I've been wanting to start a podcast for a while. So they started one about SpongeBob SquarePants. It's called The Secret Formula. I did give it a listen. It's a really fun pod and they're really good hosts. So I would like, if you're interested at all, for a fun, they do like an episode of the show every episode of the podcast. They just finished series one. If you are nostalgic for SpongeBob SquarePants, which I know a lot of people are who grew up with that show, it's a really fun podcast to listen to. So I want to shout out that. Also, a friend of the podcast has a podcast that they started recently, which I said to them I would shout out. But eagle-eared listeners may recognize who this is. They record the podcast under a pseudonym. So the podcast is called Beef. Do you know I was going to shout this out or not?
No, I didn't. I thought you might at some point.
Yeah, we did. We have been messaging each other about this. So one of the friends of the podcast has started a podcast with his daughter. And it's really fun. It's a dad and a daughter talking about a different topic every episode. It very much reminds me of the old Adam Buxton YouTube videos he used to do with his daughter when his daughter was very young. It's kind of a similar vibe to that in a good way. Like, it's a really nice, wholesome show. And their intent is to make it like fun for dads and adults as well as kids. So the show is called A Cup of Tea with John and Lily. And you can find that wherever you find your podcasts. And I recommend both of those shows. They're both really good. There we go. Is there any other stuff you guys wanted to shout out or mention before we wrap up?
You want to shout out?
Fuck's sake. You know, when he started, I was like, is he going to make a stupid joke? And then he started talking. I was like, oh no, it's not going to be a stupid joke. And then it turned around and actually was a stupid joke. It just...
Everything I say is a stupid fucking joke.
It's like a fucking double bluff. And I can't believe I went for it for even a split second. I can't believe that even for a second that I fell for it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was suckered in as well.
I know. Horrible. We should know him better by now. I'm just going to cut all that anyway. Right, thanks for listening, everyone. You got weird news next. We love you lots. We do have episode 200 coming up soon, which is a massive milestone. So if you want to send any nice messages for us to celebrate our 200th episode of Weird Tales, we would love to get them as well. Again, that's WTATUpod@gmail.com. Help us celebrate 200 episodes of Weird Tales. I was about to say 200 years. Feels like it, but yeah. Let's go. Let's go to bed, guys. It's late.
Night, guys.
Sorry. The cat's farted and my eyes are like watering.
I knew you was in pain, so that's...
Horrific. Oh my gosh.
What does the cat eat?
Sheba.
Name drop. Maybe we'll get a crate full of Sheba sent to us.
Yeah, it's the Sheba Gravy Lovers collection.
Right.
So, and you get poultry.
Is your cat a gravy lover?
Yeah, she loves gravy.
Good old gravy.
But, oh, man,
I do like gravy.
Cats love gravy.
Yeah, I love gravy.
I mean, who doesn't?
Love an onion gravy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bangers and mash with onion gravy. Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Right, well, until next time, guys, abductee you later.
Oh, yeah, you got it in.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Bye. See you later. I love you. Bye. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Bye. Have a lot. Bye. Bye.
I just am so resistant to buying a new phone because I genuinely don't give a fuck what device. No. It's the same shit. It's just a screen.
I still have an iPhone 8. If I got the brand new iPhone, it would make no difference to my life. It would have nothing new that I would care about.
It would be the same because you update it and it just is the same phone, right? And it's like,
I don't know.
Yeah, because if you with an iPhone, my phone just like I upload my phone to my computer and then download it to my new phone, and it's just the same phone. Everything's in the same place.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't understand what people.
All my
are
messages
about
are
when
still there.
The new one.
I honestly don't know what I could
do.
Can
you imagine
more?
Getting excited about the new phone? If you had like the 11 and you got the 12, could you imagine being excited about it?
I honestly dread to think the sort of person who gets excited about it.
No,
sad cunt.
Are you recording? Wow.
What have I just come back into?
That's going to the outro. That's going to the end of the episode.
What on earth have I just come back into?
I actually had a weird feeling yesterday of like, what if people discover weird tales in our liberal standpoint and we get like targeted by the alt-right at some point in the future? Imagine that. Be fucked.
It would be, but I mean, there's bigger fish than ours that say much more.
Yeah, we're not actually that. We are liberal, but we're not.
Oh, just the fact that we said like equality a couple of times probably makes us targets. Do you know what I mean? To the sort of people that would target anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that we said fuck a few times.
Oh, yeah. And I called Michael Jackson a sex offender.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of. QAnon.
And we called J.K. Rowling a transphobe a couple of times.
Yeah, who cares a fuck about J.K.? No one cares about J.K.
No.
I don't think she cares that people don't care now, though.
No,
If I had that sort of money, I'd be like,
that much money?
You can think how exactly. What you want. Who cares?
Well, yeah.
If I had that sort of money, I'd shut my fucking mouth.
If I had that sort of money, I'd say whatever I wanted as long as it didn't get me in prison.
Well, that's what she's doing. You'd be exactly the same as her.
Maybe not about trans issues. Just
on the record. On the record.
Not about trans issues.
No better than Rowling.
No, not about trans issues. Just, I don't know, I'd just be shouting my mouth off. Like some, I don't know, just anything that annoys. Like, what was it?
We'd have to put out like statements about like, what's he like in real life? I'd be like, he's not like this. I don't know why he shouts this. I don't know why he acts so horrible now he's got all this money.
No, it'd be like, what was it on Family Guy where Peter Griffin was, he was on the news just having like a little rant?
Oh, that was,
You know what grinds
my
gears?
That was like he had a segment. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd just be like that. It wouldn't be anything, yeah. No, I'd still have all my own opinion still. So I'm not a transphobe now.
So it wouldn't be like you get on like, you know what really grinds my gears, all this trans right shit.
No, because that's not my opinion now. So
that's what I mean. I thought you were saying if you had all that money, you could say what you really thought.
No, I don't really know what I meant, to be honest. I hadn't really thought it through. Just I think money would make me more. I don't know what I'm talking about.
More free?
I don't know. It depends how much money it was.
What's going to happen is you guys are going to go to a rave and then you're going to be like, oh my God, I've missed out on this my whole life and become massive rave heads.
Big rave heads. Start a rave podcast.
I can tell you that's not going to happen.
It's weird though, isn't it, in this day and age? Like, there's so much of our presence online.
Yeah.
That, like, you used to be, you would forget people's voice because there wouldn't be voice.
Yes.
But now, like, there's, like, my granddad, who died a couple of years ago, Malk, he's on a few episodes of 5 Minute Folklore.
Yeah, right.
Which is really fun. I can, like, hear his voice on them.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And it's
that's
really
what people
nice.
Do now. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, if it's we like ever died, like any of us, our parents would have, you know, heaps of fucking content to listen back to.
Yeah. I had so much notes for this episode, but I feel like we're definitely not going to get through them. So I even had like a backup second topic just in case. Nah, I can go.
Oh, my word.
I did what you did, Beef, where you did like plan way too much. Right. Okay.
Yeah, then they pulled my pants down and then they wanted to put something up my bum.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.